الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، we continue with the عقيدة الوسطية and we had been dealing with the quality of معية. We said it's the state of being with, you know, Allah سبحانه وتعالى being with the creation. And Sheikh بن عثيمين رحمه الله had mentioned the two popular positions among the علماء. One of them, the more popular one, is that Allah, when we say that Allah is with us, that means Allah's sight, Allah's hearing, Allah's ability, Allah's knowledge. And that is the popular one. However, we said this opens the door for the Mu'tazilites and the Ash'arites and their likes who we criticize for trying to interpret apparent meaning in subliminal hidden ways. And we blame them for that. So that kind of constitutes a proof for them against us to some extent, right? So in order to avoid that, the Sheikh, the position of Sheikh Al-Sabi bin Taymiyyah rahimahullah, which is very comforting to the heart, is that we understand this in the same light we understand everything else about Allah. That Allah is with us in a manner that befits His Majesty. Just like Allah has a face befitting His Majesty, Allah has hands befitting His Majesty, Allah's istiwa on the arsh befitting His Majesty, Allah is with us in a manner befitting His Majesty. And we don't say that it means this or it means that. We take it as it is. How? You don't know. Does it mean that Allah is with us? No. Because Allah told us He is above the heavens. How do we understand that? Well, what does being with mean? What does it mean? Does it necessitate two things being, being together in one physical location? We said not necessarily. And we struck many examples that the people use. We've been walking and the sun is with us and the moon is with us and it ain't with them, it's far away from them. And somebody tells his wife, don't worry, I'm with you, and she's delivering in the delivery room and he's in the other country and he's not with her. But we use this term with, you know, to indicate, you know, these kinds of meanings. And so what's the problem? There's no problem except in the minds of people who refuse to understand the apparent meaning of the Quran and the Sunnah. Ala kulli hal, that was the whole thing we had been dealing was an introduction to the ayat. And now it's time for the ayat. The Shaykh Rahmallah says, وَهَذِهِ آيَاتُ الْمَعِيَّةِ. These are the verses dealing with the ma'iyyah. Al-ayatul ula, bullet point one. Hello. There you go. Surah Al-Hadid, verse 4. قوله تعالى هو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام ثم استوى على العرش يعلم ما يلج في الأرض وما يخرج منها وما ينزل من السماء وما يعرج فيها وهو معكم أينما كنتم والله بما تعملون بصير. He created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. It is He, actually, let's be more accurate in the translation. It is He who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Then He rose over the throne. He knows what goes into the earth and what comes out of the earth, or what emerges out of the earth. And He knows what descends from the heaven and what ascends thereto, to the heavens. And He is with you wherever you may be. And verily Allah sees all that which you do. Allah is the all-seer of what you do. Ash-Shahid, where is the point of emphasis in this ayah, brothers? Now, we quoted this whole ayah to prove something. Thank you, sir. وَهُوَ مَعْكُمْ. And He is with you wherever you may be. We finished istiwa, right? Istiwa was, I know, because we missed the class and, you know, we had something, maybe we forgot. We finished with istiwa. Now we're dealing with ma'iyyah. And the point here is, and He is with you wherever you may be. Right? وَشَهِدُوا فِيهَا قَوْلُهُ وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. وَهَذِهِ هِيَ الْمَعِيَّةِ الْعَامَّةِ وَهَذِهِ مِنَ الْمَعِيَّةِ الْعَامَّةِ لِأَنَّهَا تَقْتَضِي الْإِحَاطَةِ بِالْخَلْقِ عِلْمًا وَقُدْرَةً وَسُلْطَانًا وَسَمْعًا وَبَصَرًا وَغَيْرَ ذَلِكَ مِنْ مَعَانِ الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ. This falls under the general ma'iyyah. The general one. We said there was a specific one, if you remember, that is, and a general one. The general one includes the believer, the disbeliever, the righteous, the wicked, everything in the creation, right? And the specific one is the one particular to either qualities that people may have or particular individuals, right? Particular individuals, example, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. qualities with the people of taqwa, the people of ihsan, you know, people with some qualities. We will deal with the ayat actually, inshallah, which further clarify this issue. So this here, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ, He is with you wherever you may be, is the general ma'iyah, which includes, we don't say that's the only thing, but what we understand from that also is that Allah encompasses the creation in His knowledge and His ability, in His authority, in His hearing and in His sight, and other meanings or other dimensions of Allah's rububiyyah, Allah's lordship, being the creator, cherisher, protector, provider, sustainer, arranger of affairs, and the list goes on. Now this was the first one. Al-ayat al-thaniya, second ayah, bullet point number 2, Al-Mujadila, verse 7. ما يكون من نجوى ثلاثة إلا هو رابعهم ولا خمسة إلا هو سادسهم ولا أدنى من ذلك ولا أكثر إلا هو معهم أينما كانوا ثم ينبئهم بما عملوا يوم القيامة إن الله بكل شيء عليم. There is no secret council. You know, najwa is when people, you know, come close and they talk to each other in this fashion, right? They try to keep this a secret. And Allah says, لَا خَيْرَ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّن نَجْوَاهُمْ إِلَّا مَنْ أَمَرَ بِصَدَقَةٍ أَوْ مَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ إِصْلَاحٍ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. There's no good in much of their secret council, except the one who enjoins, you know, who commands for a sadaqah, or ma'roof, something good, or reconciling between the people. Otherwise, imagine that, you know, I and the brother here and another one next to me, and I sit there and start talking to him. What is he going to do to him? Naturally, you're going to think, "Hey, man, they're talking about me. Why are you whispering to each other?" And so Allah told us in the Quran that this, you know, harms the believer. It harms you, but don't worry about it. But so this kind of counsel is really, the secret counsel is not recommended unless you're trying to do something good, and only Allah knows about the secrets. So, anyways, anytime there are three who are engaged in the secret council, there's no secret council of three, but He is their fourth. Who is their fourth?
Allah.
Is He with them in a location? If right now we are two, well, people can know how many people are attending. I mean that Allah is in this particular classroom. Subhanallah. I mean, yani it's repulsive. You know, it's. I mean, you can't really. Come on now. How is this possible? I mean, what would happen to us if Allah was in the room? Allah, nuru samawati wal ard. There would be no light. That's one of the evidence the ulama used. That Allah illuminates. Allah is the illumination of the heavens and earth. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. If Allah was with us, how was there darkness? If He was everywhere, there would be no darkness. Everything would be. Hadith says that the hijabuhu nur aw an-nar. His veil is the fire or light. If He were to remove it, whatever His sight reaches from His creation and it reaches everything will be burnt. If Allah removed the veil between Him and the creation, everything that Allah's sight reaches, which is everything, will be burnt. Will be burnt because of the greatness of Allah's nur. On the Day of Judgment, Allah will make the people able to handle it. You know? And the people in Jannah will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and will have no such hard feelings. But in this dunya, it's not possible. You see? So then, you know, it's very odd for someone to believe that Allah is with them everywhere. And so He's in this room, the other room, the next room. And then we said, what does that entail? What does that mean? That means you have to continue to the bathroom. And you cannot say, but the bathroom. Because now you need an evidence. What is your evidence that Allah is everywhere but not in the bathroom and the hall and the bar and the, all these, you know, dumpsters? What is your evidence? If they start giving you evidences, you're making up your new religion now. You're claiming something and making exceptions all on your own. Subhanallah al-Azim. What is this? So it's very logical, alhamdulillah. And it's very, you know, deviant to believe that Allah is everywhere. So, but Allah Azza wa Jalla is with us in a sense. First, the first sense according to Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, that He is with us in a manner befitting His majesty, while He's above the throne. How? Subhanallah. There's nothing like Allah. Maybe a problem to you to do this. You can't be here and with Shaykh Abdul Alim in his room at the same time. You see what I'm saying? Because you, but this is you, human being. With Allah, you don't understand Allah in the same same context, you understand the human beings. Number one. Number two, everything we say, everything we do, everything we think, huh? Everything is under Allah's control. So He's with us in this sense, right? So, you know, Qudra, ability, Allah is controlling our heartbeat, our blood flow, our blinkings of the eye, our chain of thoughts, everything is under Allah's Qudra. So being with us as in, no one is independent of Allah where He's doing things on His own and Allah is not aware of that. Everything falls under Allah's Rububiyyah. Furthermore, Allah is with us in a manner befitting His Majesty, but not physically in this room, because Allah told us that He is above His throne. عَلَى الْعَرْشِ اسْتَوَى عَنْ خَلَاصِ. That's what it is. Jameel. Okay, so there's no secret council of three, but He is their fourth. Nor five, but He is their fifth. And nothing lesser than that, or nothing more than that, except that He is with them wherever they may be. Then He will inform them on the Day of Judgment concerning all that which they used to do. Verily Allah is the all-knower of everything. Tayyip, an interesting question here. Before you read the tafsir of the Shaykh, if you have the tafsir of the Shaykh, let's try to test our knowledge here. This is a little difficult, but we'll try. Notice now that Allah said there isn't a secret council of three, except that He is their fourth. But He didn't say He is their third. Whereas the Christian said, Allah says about the Christians, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَ. That Allah is the third of three. Why they didn't say the fourth of three, or the third of two, the Holy Ghost and the Son? Why?
In this one or in this one?
Well, I mean, what is the point here? I mean, if you pay attention here, the Christian said Allah is a third of three, meaning Allah to them, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And they made Allah the third of three. Yeah. In the ayah that we just dealt with right now, if you were to understand it in the light of the Christian understanding, then Allah should be also the third of the three. But Allah said He's the fourth of the three. The Christians included.
Separate from His creation.
Yeah, well, close. The reason why, the Shaykh will explain, because the entity is different. And according to the Christians, Allah is part of them. Whereas in our context, Allah is separate. So this is why they used a third of three, and we say Allah is the fourth of three. Because He's not any of them. But the Christians, they consider Him part of them, أعوذ بالله. Part of their craziness, يعني, is that they made God not a separate entity. He along with the two other made up the God, the one God that they claim is the one still. So the Shaykh will break it down in case I didn't make any sense to you. I understand. على كل حال, this was Surah Al-Mujadilah, verse 7. قوله ما يكون يكون تاما يعني ما يوجد, meaning there isn't, this is exist, nothing exists, no three exist except Allah is their fourth. وقوله من نجوى ثلاثة قيل أنها من باب إضافة الصفة إلى الموصوف وأصلها من ثلاثة نجوى ومعنى نجوى أي متناجين. This is all grammar and I explained it in English already. نجوى is secretive council and that's what it is. وقولهم إلا هو رابعهم, except that He is their fourth. ولم يقل إلا هو ثالثهم, and He did not say except that He is their third. لأنه من غير الجنس, He is of different kind. He is of a different kind. They are human beings and Allah is the creator of human beings, different kinds, so they cannot be included. وَإِذَا كَانَ مِنْ غَيْرِ الْجِنْسِ فَإِنَّ يُؤْتَ بِالْعَدَدِ التَّالِي. But if they were of the same kind, then you will mention the number that comes after, and you will not do it in the way it was done. أَمَّا إِذَا كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنْسِ فَإِنَّ يُؤْتَ بِنَفْسِ الْعَدَدِ. But if it was from the same kind, then we bring the same number, and we don't bring the next number. If it's of a different kind, you bring the next number. If it's of the same kind, you bring the same number. انظر إلى قوله تعالى النصارى. Look at Allah's statement concerning the Nasara. لقد كفر الذين قالوا إن الله ثالث ثلاثة. They have disbelieved those who say that Allah is a third of three. ولم يقولوا ثالث اثنين. They didn't say the third of two. Notice in our ayah, the fourth of three. According to the Christians, The third of three, not the third of two. Okay? Why? لأنه من الجنس على زعمه. Because according to them, they all co-equal. Subhanallah. Because they are all co-equal according to the Christians. They make no distinction. This is if they follow the doctrine of Christianity, or we call it dogma. Why? What is a dogma? Does anyone know? Dogma. D-O-G-M-A. You should be familiar with this term if you're involved in da'wah. Dogma is a belief system that is hard to accept. Yani people are reluctant to accept it because of it has some, it's not compatible with human intellect. Right? However, people accept it for worldly purposes. It is given the title dogma. Right? It is not something that is based on intellect and certainty and rationale. It's the other way around. Yani dogma and rational belief are antonyms to one another. They mean the opposite things, right? So the Christian belief is a dogma. It's dogmatic, as in, yani I really can't really understand. Yeah, you may brainwash someone into believing it, but for them to make sense out of it, it doesn't make any sense, quite frankly. نعم لأنه من الجنس على زعمهم فعندهم كل ثلاثة آلهة. Because to them the three can constitute one God. Right? They comprise one God according to the Christians. Trust me, that's what they believe. Even if they lie to you when they meet you. فلما كان من الجنس على زعمهم قالوا فيه ثالث ثلاثة. Because they believe Allah is equal to the Holy Ghost and equal to the Son. So they said He's the third of three. But when Allah Azza wa Jalla wanted to show He's of a different kind, it wasn't used in this fashion. He said the fourth of three. Alhamdulillah, I hope it makes sense. وَقَوْلُهُ وَلَا خَمْسَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ سَدِسُهُمْ. And they aren't five, except that He is their sixth. ذَكَرَ الْعَدَدِ الْفَرْدِي ثَلَاثَ وَخَمْسَةً. Notice that Allah mentioned the odd numbers. Third and fifth. He didn't say they aren't three, except that He is their fourth. And they aren't four, except that He is their fifth. They aren't three, except that He is their fourth. And they aren't five, except that He is their sixth. So there's the four and five missing. وسكت عن عدد الزوجي. He refrained from mentioning the even numbers. He stuck to the odd numbers. لكنه داخل في قوله. But subhanAllah, this is included in the statement of Allah. Then the very next word. ولا أدنى من ذلك ولا أكثر. And nothing be less, lower than that, or nothing more. So it's included. So whether it's one, then two, two, then three, three and four, and then the list goes on. 100,000, 100,000 and one. He said nothing lesser than that and nothing more than that. SubhanAllah, this is comprehensive. It includes everything. All numbers. Even if the according to some numbers are infinite, right? You know, it's infinity. You cannot stop counting. You just keep adding and adding and adding. Then this ayah includes that. Maybe this is a mathematical, you know, miracle, I guess, or something along these lines. That anything there is included. Whatever it is, if it's more than that, then Allah Azza wa Jal, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, will be the additional one of a different kind. نعم. ما من اثنين فأكثر يتناجيان بأي مكان من الأرض إلا والله عز وجل معهم. There aren't two or more anywhere on earth who have a secret council except that Allah is with them. The exalted, the magnificent is with them. وهذه المعية عامة لأنها تشمل كل أحد المؤمن والمؤمنة والكافرة والبر والفاجرة ومقتضى الإحاطة بهم علما وقدرة وسمعا وبصرا وسلطانا وتدبيرا وغير ذلك. This is the general معية. And it includes everyone, the believer and the disbeliever, the righteous and the wicked. And it entails Allah's encompassment of His creation in terms of knowledge, ability, hearing, seeing, authority, arranging the affairs and otherwise. وَقَوْلُهُ ثُمَّ يُنَبِّيهُمْ بِمَا عَمِلُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. As for Allah's statement, then He informs them of that which they had done on the Day of Judgment. Or that which they have done in the dunya, He will inform them of that on the Day of Judgment, that is, of course. يعني أن هذه المعية تقتضي إحصاء ما عملوه. That entails that Allah Azza wa Jalla, this ma'iyy also necessitates that Allah has kept, to account everything they have done. Everything they have done is recorded. أحصو يعني الله أحصاه, meaning he recorded it. Nothing is gone. Allah says in the Quran, أحصاه الله ونسوه. Allah had kept track of it. It's recorded with Allah, but they forgot. We forgot about the sins. We have done so many sins which we don't remember. But it is written with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And يَلْقَاهُ اِقْرَأْ كِتَابَكْ. Right? And then the kitab is described as manshura. It will be spread out. You know, everything will be recorded over there. Allah musta'an. Allah musta'an. فَإِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ نَبَّاهُمْ بِمَا عَمِلُوا. If it is the day of judgment, Allah will inform them of that which they had done. يعني أخبرهم به وحسبهم عليه, meaning he will inform them of the deeds and he will recompense them for them. لأن المراد بالإنباء لازمه هو المحاسبة. What is intended by informing them is holding, bringing them to account for that. لكن إن كانوا مؤمنين, but if they were believers, فإن الله تعالى يحصي أعمالهم ثم يقول سترتها عليك في الدنيا وأنا أغفرها لك اليوم. But if they were believers and Allah decides to have mercy on them, then Allah, even though He had kept track of their deeds in the dunya, Allah will tell them on the Day of Judgment, I have concealed them for you in the dunya and I shall forgive you today concerning these same deeds. What is the condition? Huh? What is the condition that you get? If, listen to the context. I have concealed them for you in the dunya and I shall be forgiven you concerning them today. What will take you out of this? What is the exception?
Non-moment. If he is a moment, he will conceal. But others, he will not.
We're dealing with the mu'min.
Yeah.
What kind of sins are not included?
Shirk.
No. Well, shirk for sure, for sure. If someone dies in that state. The public sinning. Because the hadith says, I have concealed them, meaning no one knew of them. It was between a slave and Allah. But when you do sins publicly, this doesn't fall under here. Because the term, I have concealed them in the dunya, is not applicable. Because they were not concealed. They were exposed. People knew of them. Furthermore, the hadith was sallam, كُلُّ أُمَّةِ مُعَافَ إِلَّا الْمُجَاهِرُونَ. All of my ummah will be safe, protected. They will have an outlet except those who do sins publicly. So, and we've dealt with, said, you know, that the beard, shaving it is a public sin which will call, you know, person disobeying Allah publicly, smoking cigarettes, listening to music. These are common things that today have become so common, it's almost as if they're halal, even though they're not. Not only their sins, but they also fall under public sinning. So that is very dangerous. Unlike the sin which you do at home, you know, behind closed doors, no one sees you, you know, you get on the TV and you watch, you know, some 2 minutes of haram and then you start, you know, talking to yourself, A'udhu billah, what have I done? And you run somewhere and you pray to rak'ah and you seek Allah's forgiveness. This is good. At least there's a live heart. I'm not saying we should do this, but there's a live heart. People only hear this part of the conversation. Wallah, the brother said in the dars that it's okay for me to watch 2 minutes from the movie. Ashraf Allah ar-Rajjal. Haram alayk, wallah, to put me in this situation. What I'm saying is that if we do so, it's good. Our heart is alive. We feel guilty. We feel remorse. We return to Allah. It's good. Allah will forgive that person. But when we don't do that, we don't feel guilty, we do the sins publicly like there's no problem whatsoever, then this is not applicable. Right? And so Allah understand, we really need to reconsider our choices in life. وَقَوْلُهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ. Speaking of music, Abu Mus'ab said, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ مَوْجُودٌ أَوْ مَعْدُومٌ جَائِزٌ أَوْ وَاجِبٌ أَوْ مُمْتَنِعٌ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ فَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِهِ. Everything, whether it exists or it is non-existent, whether it could possibly come into existence, whether it is allowed, it is obligatory, it is prohibited, everything, Allah knows of it. Every single thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows of it. In fact, we struck this example before and there's no harm in striking it again. Do you know how many hairs you have on your head? On your beard? Do you know how many threads are on this carpet? This is from the knowledge of Allah like nothing.
Not only you, everyone, everywhere, from the time of Adam until the day of judgment, everything, everywhere, all the time. This is from the knowledge of Allah. And ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. This is easy for Allah. You know, the Prophet ﷺ had explained that the knowledge which we all have, some of us think they're knowledgeable, that all of the creation, their knowledge compared to that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like someone dipping his finger in the ocean. Or the bird taking a drop of water from the ocean. That's it. It's a drop of water. It's nothing. Our knowledge is absolutely nothing. And whatever knowledge we have, it is from Allah at the end of the day. So we remain totally dependent on Him, subhanahu. وَقَدْ سَبَقَ لَنَا الْكَلَامُ عَلَى صِفَةِ الْعِلْمِ وَأَنَّ عِلْمَ اللَّهِ يَتَعَلَّقُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى بِالْوَاجِبِ وَالْمُسْتَحِيلِ وَالصَّغِيرِ وَالْكَبِيرِ وَالظَّاهِرِ وَالْخَفِيِّ. And we have previously discussed the attribute of knowledge, and we said that Allah's knowledge includes everything, even the things that must be and the things which are impossible to be, the small and the big, the apparent and the hidden. Everything is known to Allah. So that was the second ayah, Surah Al-Mujadilah, verse 7, bullet point number 3. Al-ayah al-thalitha, Tawbah, verse 40. قوله لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Who can translate this into English? لا تحزن إن الله معنا.
Don't grieve. Verily we are with you. Allah is with you. With us.
Hey, there you go. You fixed it at the end. Don't grieve. Don't be sad. Verily, Allah is with us. Good, Jazakallahu khairan. طيب, who is this speaking about, brother? It's okay if you don't get it right. But the context here, who said this to who? Who said to the other one, don't grieve, verily Allah is with us? Who said this to who? This ayah is actually based on an event in the seerah, in the biography of the Prophet ﷺ, in his history. This was the statement of Prophet ﷺ to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq when they were in the cave. Right? If you remember. We'll remember, inshallah. If you don't remember, we'll remember with each other right now. Al-Khitabu li Abi Bakr radiallahu anhu min al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The speech here is addressing Abu Bakr. From who's the speaker? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قال الله تعالى إلا تنصروه فقد نصره الله إذ أخرجه الذين كفروا ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا. If you do not aid him, then verily Allah has aided him before, when those who disbelieved took him out and drove him out. He was the second of two. When they were in the cave, then he said to his companion, Abu Bakr, his companion is Abu Bakr, the speaker is Prophet ﷺ, do not grieve, indeed or verily Allah is with us. Ironically, the word, there's a very popular name among the Spanish people called Emmanuel, right? And Emmanuel means God is with us. Right, Emmanuel.
Name of person.
Yeah, it's the name of a person. Yeah, it's common among the Christians, right? But just for you, if you ever came across someone whose name is Emmanuel, Emmanuel means God is with us. Whatever. على كل حال. أولا نصره حين الإخراج وإذا أخرجه الذين كفروا. So Allah aided him when he was driven out, right? When those who disbelieved took him out. وَثَانِيًا وَعِنْدَ الْمَكْثِ فِي الْغَارِ. He aided him. He first aided him when they kicked him out by allowing him to leave without them being able to harm him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he aided him while he was in the cave. إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ. Both of them were in the cave. ثَالِثَةً عِنْدَ الشِّدَّةِ حِينَمَا وَقَفَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ عَلَى فَمِ الْغَارِ. Thirdly, he aided him at the time of difficulty when the mushrikeen were standing at the door of the cave. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله. Right? فهذه أي إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن. He says to his companion, do not grieve. فهذه ثلاثة مواقع بين الله تعالى بين الله تعالى فيها نصره لنبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم. These are three positions. three situations, three circumstances, three incidents where Allah had declared Him providing aid and assistance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وهذا الثالث حيث وقف المشركون عليهم يقول أبو بكر رضي الله عنه يا رسول الله لو نظر أحدهم إلى قدمه لأبصرنا. In this last one, when the mushrikeen were standing right there at the door of the cave, Abu Bakr said to the Prophet ﷺ, O Messenger of Allah, if one of them were to look at his foot, he would be able to see us. Yani they were so close, if he only looked down where his feet were, he would see their feet. Because they were standing right there. Right? But subhanallah, yani innana ala khatar, meaning we're in danger. Right? كقول أصحاب موسى لما وصل البحر. Like who? Like the children of Israel, the companions of Musa said, when they made it to the ocean, and Fir'aun was with them, they said, إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ. Verily we have been caught. مُدْرَكُونَ, يُدْرِكْ شَيْء, to be able to attain something, meaning where they have attained us, they have gotten us, they have caught us. We're no longer able to run away. Of course, they didn't have enough iman as Musa عليه السلام did. That's why he said, كَلَّا إِنَّ مَعْيَ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. This is amazing, by the way. This is from the eloquence and the miracle of the Quran in the choice of words of Allah. Musa said, nay, verily my Lord is with me, He will guide me. The ulama say, because he was at a level in terms of his belief in Allah and his tawakkul, and they were at another level. So much so that they couldn't belong to him. He didn't say Allah is with us, because they don't have this yaqeen that they had. So he made it singular. Allah is with me. You see? He mentioned himself only because they were not at the same level as Musa. This is very, you know, very subtle. Right? You may not pay attention, but this is of course not my own, mashallah, understanding. This is from the ulama. I'm only quoting that to you. But, you know, the Shaykh didn't mention it here, but it's amazing. He said, إِنَّ مَعِيَ, with me is Allah, my Lord. He will guide me. They're just going to follow. But their iman was not like that of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. But the Sahaba of the Prophet ﷺ were not the same. They were not the same. They had that strong iman with the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهنا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأبي بكر رضي الله عنه لا تحزن إن الله معنا. So he said, don't grieve, Allah is with us or with me? With us. Huh? Because Abu Bakr is Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه. So now the plural is applicable. Before it had to be singular with Musa and his people. With Abu Bakr, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. Allah is with both of us. Yani don't worry. فَطَمْأَنَهُ. So he caused him to relax. He comforted him. That's a better translation. I'm sorry. وَأَدْخَلَ الْأَمْنَ فِي نَفْسِي. And he allowed security to enter into Abu Bakr's soul. وَعَلَّلَ ذَلِكَ بِقَوْلِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. And he gave him the reason behind that. Why should you not worry? Because Allah is with us. And if Allah is with us, خلاص. وقوله هنا لا تحزن نهي يشمل الهم مما وقع وما سيقع فهو صالح للماضي والمستقبل. The statement do not grieve it encompasses or it includes the worry or the stress concerning that which has taken place in the past and that which might take place. So it is applicable for the past and the future in terms of tenses, right? Don't grieve, meaning don't grieve over what has happened and don't grieve about that which will come in the future. It works both ways. مُلْحَزَن تَأَلُّمُ النَّفْسُ وَشِدَّتْ هَمُّهَا أو وَشِدَّتْ هَمِّهَا. حَزَن, grief, is the pain that one feels, the pain that you feel in your soul and yourself, and excessive anxiety. You know, you're very anxiety is like anxious usually has a positive connotation, whereas anxiety has a negative connotation. Anxiety is usually a disease. People have anxiety meaning they worry too much. You know, they're always worried that something may happen. Anxious usually is used, I'm anxious to go to Medina. It's something that is positive. Anyways, that's what it means. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعْنَا. Very, Allah is with us. وَهَذِي الْمَعِيَّةِ خَاصَّةً مُقَيَّدَ بِالنَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَأَبِي بَكْرٍ وَتَقْتَضِي مَعَ الْإِحَاطَةِ الَّتِي هِيَ الْمَعِيَّةُ الْعَامَّةُ النَّصْرُ وَالتَّأْيِيدُ. This ma'iyya, is it amma or khassa, ya shabab? Is it general or specific?
Specific.
To who?
Abu Bakr and
the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ahsan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr. And it, along with that special, it also means that Allah azza wa jal will aid them and protect them. They will be aided and protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is understood in the meaning of ma'iyyah. ولهذا وقفت قريش على الغار ولم يبصروهما أعمى الله أبصرهم. This is why Quraysh, they stood right at the door, at the entrance of the cave, and they were unable to see them. Allah caused them to be blinded at the moment. طيب, have you heard the story that there was a pigeon who came and what did she do? She laid some eggs or something. A spider came and
the spider
came and put a web and everything, and so they came and said, no one could have passed from here. We got, you know, pigeons having a nest over here, and we have them spider, you know, but this cannot be. And so khalas, they, have you heard this before?
Yes.
Please delete it. Right click on it and delete it. Okay, then go to your deleted items in the trash, you know, recycle bin, and permanently delete it, inshallah, so you never have to use it ever again in your life. Because this is a fabrication, right? It's a fabricated story. Sorry to bring the news to you, or I'm happy to bring the news to you, so you could, you know, narrate the sunnah according to the sunnah. Let us see what the Shaykh says concerning this. وَأَمَّا قَوْلُ مَنْ قَالْ فَجَاءَتِ الْعَنْكَبُوتُ فَنَسَجَتْ عَلَى بَابِ الْغَارِ وَالْحَمَامَ وَقَعَتْ عَلَى بَابِ الْغَارِ فَلَمَّا جَاءَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ وَإِذَا عَلَى الْغَارِ حَمَامًا وَعِشُّ عَنْكَبُوتُ فَقَالُوا لَيْسَ فِي أَحَدٍ فَانْصَرِفُوا هَذَا بَاطِلٌ. As for the story that a spider came and it made a web around it, and a pigeon came and it fell at the door, and so they came and said, okay, there's a pigeon here and a spider web, so there must be no one here, let's go. He said, هذا باطل. This is falsehood. الحماية الإلهية والآية البالغة أن يكون الغار مفتوحا صافيا ليس فيه مانع حسي ومع ذلك لا يرون من فيه. The divine protection and the real miracle is that the ghar, the cave, will be wide open, right? And there's no physical barrier, no tangible barrier between them, and still no one sees them. That's the miracle. Otherwise, if there was a pigeon or a spider, there's nothing special anymore, right? This happens everywhere all the time. So that kind of reduces the protection of Allah into something, you know, of a pigeon and spider. Had this been authentic, then khalas, it would be case closed. But this is inauthentic. Yani there is no sahih hadith which has this particular story, even though you may have read it in many books that you thought were reliable, but not every book you read has all authentic narrations, as we should all know by now. نعم. أما أن تأتي حمام وعنكبوت تعشعش فهذا بعيد وخلاف قولي لو نظر أحدهم إلى قدمه إلى أبصرنا. As if for the pigeon to come and a spider to create a web there, he said this is far fetched. And it goes against the statement of Abu Bakr. If one of them were to look at our feet, he would see us. How could that be? You know, if they were that close, how could that be? Meaning, if he looked, they would see him. Whether there's a pigeon or not, they would be able to see. It's not like they were inside, far away. And when they saw this, they said, there's no need to go into the cave. He was so close, they were so close, that Abu Bakr said, if he looks at his feet, he will see us. Meaning, he was right there. No pigeon, no ankabut, no batikh. Are we all? You guys always look shocked when I bring you this kind of information. Are you brothers swallowing this pretty good?
The
important thing is some of those historians, may Allah pardon them, يأتون بأشياء غريبة شاذة منكرة لا يقبلها العقل ولا صحبها النقل. They bring some odd, strange, unacceptable things which neither the mind accepts nor the chain of narration support. I mean, we don't have any evidence. So if you read it in, for example, in Barak Furi or Rahiq al-Makhtum, or you have read it in Sirat Ibn Hisham or others, it does not mean that it is a revelation from Allah. Because these people are human beings. The ulama, rahimahum Allah, with all the effort they made, at the end of the day, they were not infallible. Otherwise, we become the Shia, who believe that their imams make no mistakes. But we don't believe that. We believe they make mistakes. They may quote something that they believe is right, which is incorrect. If you look at the majority of the tafsir, you will find them mentioning information that is totally unacceptable. When it comes to Dawood alayhi salatu salam and things of this nature, I mean, this is straight up from the Bible. some of the tafsir of the old ulama, if you read the tafsir, it's the same story that is in the Bible. If you go to the Bible, find the same story, and we use this against the Christians to say, how could you say that a prophet would do that? But some of the ulama mentioned that. It doesn't mean that it is reliable. They made an error there. May Allah pardon us and pardon them. As the Prophet ﷺ said, they made an effort. They will be rewarded with one good deed, with a good deed, for even if they made a mistake. Even if they made a mistake because they did ijtihad in order to present to us the truth. But we don't believe anyone or follow anyone blindly. No one is ma'soom, is infallible, except the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. What he conveyed to us from Allah is the only thing which we take with blindly. Really, the only person we follow blindly is the Messenger of Allah. If you don't understand what the Sunnah means, don't understand, but do it. But anyone else? No. So if this was an authentic narration of his, we will not even be having the discussion. So it's upon those who say that this is what happened to bring us the authentic narration, they will not be able to do so. Right? So. Now, Al-Ayah Rabi'ah. We can deal with it quickly, inshallah. وَقَوْلُهُ مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. Bullet point number 4. Taha, verse 46. Right? Who is this speaking about before you read in the book? قَالَ إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. Musa and Harun. What is his name in English? Musa in English?
Moses.
Malish. And Harun?
Harun.
Aaron. Okay, the H is gone. Right? Aaron. They usually write it A-A-R-O-N. Okay? Or maybe it's spelled differently, but it's Aaron. Moses and Aaron. Just in case you heard it from someone, you know who they're talking about. Of course, Harun is more beloved to us than anything else. على كل حال. هذا الخطاب لموسى وهارون. لما أمرهما الله عز وجل أن يذهبا إلى فرعون. This speech here is addressing Musa and Harun. After Allah had commanded them to go to Fir'aun. قال اذهبا إلى فرعون إنه طغى. Go to Pharaoh, verily he has طغى, transgressed, mashallah. We need to work on these issues so we can give da'wah. This is necessary for a da'iyah to know the meaning of the words, the translation of the words, because da'wah is based on the fuel of da'wah is word terminology. Da'wah has its own terminology. You can bring someone who is a professor in medicine, have him give a class, he will not be able to do so because there are particular terms that have particular meanings, and we want to translate the meaning along with the term. Yeah, and there's a linguistic aspect and there's the other one, syntax and phonetics and many things are included. We should be familiar with these as much as we can. طيب. فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. So say to him something soft. Speak to him in a soft manner. Perhaps he will remember what he needs to do concerning Allah's rights. أَوْ يَخْشَى, or he fears Allah from continuing to oppress the people. قال ربنا إننا نخاف أن يفرط علينا أو أن يطغى. They said, oh Allah, Musa and Harun, we are afraid that he will hasten our punishment or that he will transgress against us. قال لا تخافا إنني معكما أسمع وأرى. He said, do not be afraid, verily I am with you, I hear and I see. This is what Allah told them. Right. Fear not, verily I am with you, both hearing and seeing. Better translation. فَقَوْلُ أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى جُمْلَةٌ إِسْتِئْنَافِيَّةٌ لِبَيَانِ مُقْتَدَى هَذِهِ الْمَعِيَّةِ الْخَاصَّةِ. This is a new sentence. إِسْتِئْنَافِيَّة is like a new sentence with a capital letter in the beginning. To indicate the special ma'iyyah which they had. وَهُوَ السَّمْعُ وَالرُّؤْيَةُ. And it is hearing and seeing. وَهَذَا سَمْعُ وَرُؤْيَا خَاصَّانْ تَقْتَضِيَانِ النَّصْرُ وَالتَّأْيِيدُ وَالْحِمَايَةُ مِنْ فِرْعَوْنِ. And this is a special kind here. The meaning of Allah seeing and Allah hearing, meaning that Allah Azza wa Jal will aid them, protect them from Fir'aun. Because Allah will hear everything they will say to Fir'aun, and Fir'aun will say to them. And Allah will see everything they will do with Fir'aun, and Fir'aun will do to them. So nothing is included, okay? الذي قال عنه إننا نخاف أن يفرط علينا ويطغى. The one who said that we are afraid that he will transgress, he will hasten the punishment or transgress. Actually, this ends ayah number 4. بإذن الله عز وجل, if we all remain alive till next week, next Sunday, we'll be dealing with ayah الخامسة and so on and so forth. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.